Hello and welcome to the Lofty Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tanisha Coffey, aka the Lofty Entrepreneur. Thanks for joining me. Now, as always, we are providing the best tips, tools, advice, and inspiration for entrepreneurs, no matter what stage you're at. So if you haven't already done so, click now to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Now, you guys know that I love having guests to share their personal story of how they got to be where they are now. Well, today I'm speaking with a true unicorn, a woman who started out life orphaned as an infant who went on to become a deca millionaire. Marinate on that for a second, people, okay? Meanwhile, while you think about that, I'm going to go ahead and invite our guest. Please help me welcome Miss Gina Yaris to the show. How are you, Gina?
Hi, Tanisha. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when I read about kind of how you started off life, people always think of, for better or worse, children who are, you know, orphaned as starting off as a disadvantage in some way, shape, or form. But regardless of how you kind of thought about it, tell me, how did you get to where you are? Because was it, you know, do you feel like it was the parents who took you in, the family, you know, what was it that set you up to then have all the different things that have happened to you across your life? Let's start at the beginning.
Well, I think at the beginning, when I was younger, you know, I mean, I had a great influence, my parents that raised me. My non-biological mom came from a family of 13 brothers and sisters. It was a big Italian family. So there was lots of love and support there. Unfortunately, you know, even though you had all of that love and support, there definitely was some internal mental challenges for myself. When I found out, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. It wasn't so bad then, but then when I hit my teen years, I started to use it against them, you know, it became very rebellious and things like that. My father, who raised me, was self-employed. He had a real estate and insurance business. So as a young adult, I would start working school, you know, after school when I was 13, 14 years old, started doing accounts payable and things like that. And I just became very passionate of working with people. And one thing, you know, kind of inspired me a little bit to, okay, well, I was doing all of this stuff in the behind the scenes that he had taught me, that when I was in high school, my senior year of high school, I went and I got my real estate license, so that by the time I actually got out of high school, I was able to start doing real estate right away. So that was really the foundation. I mean, he was an entrepreneur, so he showed me how to be an entrepreneur. But I definitely feel like I always made things much harder than what it was.
Right. And I mean, that I think that's part of the growing pains, just even as a kid, a teenager, you know, somebody can tell you, do this, do that, and this is, and you'll get this result. But I mean, if you're anything like my children are now, my children are experiential learners. So it sometimes doesn't matter what I say and tell them what the outcome can be. They just have to kind of experience it themselves. But like what it sounds like with you, my children also do take in the things that I, as a parent, that I'm saying. And so even though they may not be, it seems like they're not listening and they may be kind of doing some rebellion, the fact, like even with you, the fact that you ended up kind of listening to your father and following in his footsteps with the insurance and the real estate and the self-employment, that means that even though there were those times where you were kind of testing the waters, you still were hearing him and able to take that in. And somewhere in there, make the shift. So you weren't so, I guess, not the word combative is not correct, but challenging, you know, to your parents, you know, there was somewhere in there that made the shift. What do you think made that shift, if you ever, you know, thought about that?
You mean as far as being rebellious?
Yes, where you could switch from kind of using it against them to saying, okay, I see what you're doing, I understand, and then wanting to kind of fall in line with what they were teaching, what he was teaching.
Yeah. I mean, probably wasn't until I was about 18, 19 years old when I got out of high school. And then because I was actually in the field and I can do the work and get paid to do it legitimately. then I started to put on my listening ears and say, okay, well, you know, now he needs to guide me in a new way. But there was always, you know, the interesting thing when we talk about the journey of entrepreneurship, in my earlier years doing real estate, that's where my success came from, right? I was selling houses, I was selling multifamily homes, I was selling commercial properties. And then over time, I bought my first piece of commercial real estate when I was 21. And then I started managing my own properties. And as I was managing properties and selling multifamily homes, people kept saying to me, well, can you manage mine? And so for me, it went from real estate to property management. And while I was making money for other people, it was like, well, what the heck am I doing? You know, like I need to make money for me. And so then our portfolio continued to evolve to what it is today. And we've got our third generation of kids stepping into that platform, which is really cool. But point being is that when I first started out in real estate, there was this mental barrier, and maybe other people can appreciate this, of, you know, because I was adopted, because they gave me life, I owed it that to them to be in this business. Right. And sometimes people get into a career because they're expected to be in this career because it's something that a parent has done and therefore you're supposed to do. Well, but somewhere in the middle of my life, around 35, I had a heart catheterization. I was extremely stressed. And we had owned a farm, a vacant piece of land up in Northeast Pennsylvania. And my children had said to me, listen to our kids, right? Why do we have to, we used to take this big 35-foot travel trailer and bring it up to Honesdale, Pennsylvania and go camping every summer. And then we would move the camper up to the vacant piece of property, which was about 160 acres, which was going to be a retirement home for my husband and I. And the kids said one year, like, why do we have to go home? Why can't we stay in Pennsylvania? So we figured out a way to stay in Pennsylvania. We built our retirement home early. Four of our two of the kids were already out of school. So two of them moved up with us. But in moving to Pennsylvania, it was like, well, you know, I've always wanted horses and I got horses. And so the journey of doing what I was expected to do, and also that I felt obligated to do, like I owed them something because they gave me the life that I had, was almost like a 22-year sentence, right? They only had the obligation to raise me until they were 18, in a sense, like monetarily, but I kept that for a very, very long time, 22 years later.
Right.
When I moved to Pennsylvania, I started playing with horses and learning about natural horsemanship. And that's where I felt better. I stopped my medicine. I went to the doctor, no problems with my heart. Like there's just no science behind how things happen the way they happen medically for me. But now all of a sudden there was nothing wrong, right? And so the big epiphany of working with the horses was that, oh my God, you know, I couldn't, when I had my heart catheterization, the doctor said, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is there's nothing wrong with you. The bad news was that it was all in my head. Now you have to envision for a moment, this brazen New Jersey woman, right? Who has everybody in speed dial that she needs. She knows how to push buttons. She's a sassy woman, right? To someone that is being told that there's something going on in her head. I think, Tanisha, if I had a little less anesthesia, I probably would have decked the doctor because I didn't know what he meant, right? I thought he meant that there was something mentally wrong with me, but it wasn't that. It was just that my thinking patterns, my belief system that I had. And so when I started playing with horses here before, my mind, I couldn't turn off. It was on 24/7. And when I put my head down on the pillow at night, forget about whatever that word insomnia is. I think if there was a better definition, mine was worse. I was lucky if I would get 3 to 4 hours of sleep at night. And I always had something next to my bed so that I could write down what I was thinking, because otherwise I couldn't sleep at all. Mm-hmm. My mind would get busier in the evening when I put my head down than it was during the day. And so if you could visualize like a bicycle and the two wheels, like my body was still, but this bicycle wheel would just keep going faster and faster and faster. And so playing with the horses and learning about natural horsemanship is about personal development. And one day when I was out in the fields, it was like, oh my God, what am I supposed to be thinking? I couldn't think of anything. So the horses had done complete opposite. I finally took control of my mind and what it was I was thinking, because I was playing with something bigger than myself. I couldn't focus on anything else. And so it began to condition the mind to be still. Well, now I thought I had a bigger problem. You know, I was like, geez, now I can't turn it off and now I can't find it. What the hell, you know? But so what was once first an obligation, you know, as far as being in entrepreneurship, has become a life passion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the journey of entrepreneurship, I think sometimes people forget it's not necessarily what you're doing, right? But it's the process. It's the journey that we all take in developing who we are as individuals that makes what we do so powerful.
Right. And I think that's so important. I mean, you made several points that I can identify with, because I know when I started off as an entrepreneur, unlike you, I was on the other side of the spectrum, where it was more expected that I would go into a 9-to-5 and work and just kind of go that route. And so, but I also felt obligated to do that, because that was the expectation. There was no particular pressure, nothing said, but that was literally my own beliefs that I adopted, I took on, and thinking that if I were doing anything other than that, that I was going to be a disappointment, especially if I didn't succeed at equivalent or better than what I thought they expected I would do, you know, working for someone else. So I definitely fully understand that. I think that's huge for people to kind of think about that, you know, as they're approaching entrepreneurship or as they're going through entrepreneurship, you know, that why are you doing it? What's driving you? Because realistically, like in your case, it literally physically and mentally kind of made you sick, because you were not doing what really felt good to you for you. You were doing it because it was what you thought you needed to do for someone else. And then not even just for the time equivalent time, it was in your head at that time, it sounds like it was just till the end of time. I owe you, period. And so this is what it is. So I think it's very important for people to really think about that and to kind of look back and process. And as you're going into it or wherever you are now, just say, I'm doing this for me. And is what I'm doing for me what I want to be doing? Or if it is what you want to be doing, how you're doing it, is it, you know? And then the opportunity cost, you know? So I know as a mom, you know, the opportunity cost I have of going after this business is, of course, time with my family. You know, I don't think there's a thing that exists as truly equal balance where you can literally do everything simultaneously. Can you do, you know, pockets? Okay, I'm working. Okay, great. This is over here. I'm still doing family, but is it equal? No. But are you still doing them all? Yes. And so you can juggle all the balls. It's just one may be a little more heavy than the other at certain times when it needs to be. So I think it's really great that you were able to make that shift and really realize. And then you were talking about how your place, you found your place with the horses. And I fully resonate with that. I'm not specifically with the horses, but for me, it's when I take the time to go out and I go on a walk on my own. Now, that's actually when I do my best thinking and kind of reflect on things. And so that can help me to refresh for business or whatever else I'm doing. And then my place for when I just let things go is the water for me. I love the beach and the ocean, and just being in that environment puts me at ease. So I think it's really important for those of you who are listening to think about, you know, what are those places or things for you? Because as an entrepreneur, there's going to be so many challenges and ups and downs and roller coasters and emotional, and then that can impact your physical and your mental. You have to be able to identify these things to help you to move forward. So,
yeah, you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, you're talking about that shift a few minutes ago, and this is maybe something really important for your audience to hear, especially in the entrepreneurship and people that are looking to step out of what's expected of them. Because that shift you know, between doing what I was expected versus, you know, finding my passion and being in that place, because, you know, you can relate, as parents, we want the best for our kids, but that doesn't always mean that we're right. You know, and sometimes when we're not doing what they expect us to do or behave in a certain way, it creates a lot of friction. And so there was a ton of friction when I decided not to do real estate the way I was doing it before. There was a ton of friction because I wasn't going to be living in New Jersey anymore and I was going to commute back and forth. It took me, when I look back now, I wish, if that was one thing that I can change, would be that when I cut the ties and I said I wasn't going to do it anymore, I would have just cut it. Mm-hmm. Because that transition took 12 years. And that was the most painful 12 years of my life. So, and all because you didn't want to upset someone, or you didn't want to create more confrontation, or you didn't want them to be disappointed in you. And really, that's all of the stuff that goes on internally in our head. Right. When, you know, whatever they have going on is their problem. It's not yours. Right. Absolutely. And so being able to stand up to that woman or man that you need to be and owning your own power, there's so much glory in that when you're able to do it. And, you know, I said I had a 22-year life sentence in a sense, right? But when I cut that shackle and when I took that shackle off, if I could give an image, it was like I was dragging so much stuff with me for so long that I don't even know how I was standing up. So, you know, the internal part of our thinking making me physically sick, I something had to give. And, you know, leaving the environment for me, so leaving New Jersey, moving to Pennsylvania, getting out of the environment that I was in, the people that knew me, was the best thing that I had ever done, but it was the scariest thing that I ever done. Right. I had probably cried for a month. My husband was about ready to send me back to New Jersey. But, and that's where they say, like, the hardest thing that you have to do is the one thing that's going to give you the greatest rewards. And because of that move projected or started the trajectory to me becoming first the millionaire, then 5 million, now 10 million. So had I never made that move, I don't know that I'd be where I am today. So, I know I wouldn't be where I was, that I am today.
So it was that friction, that taking that stand, mm-hmm. and deciding, okay, I'm going to do what I want, what I need for mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. That was that turning point for you.
Yeah. Not because I don't love you.
Right. No, right? No.
I love you. I love mom and dad to death. Love them. It's not, has nothing to do with the fact that I just need to be me.
Right.
Right. Respect. Yeah. Respect me and give me that space to try to explore who I am, what my gifts and my talents are. And, you know, and then, you know, let me flourish.
Yes.
That's really hard. You know, the best thing that you want for your child, in my opinion, is to see my kids surpass me. But it's interesting that even my adult children, as I've taught my adult children about finances and money and how to make money grow and so forth and passive income and everything else, their significant others, their families, they have surpassed them, and it has created friction.
Yeah. I've heard of that too. You know, sometimes people don't know quite how to feel like that. People mm-hmm. think that you think you're, you know, better than them because you did better, but mm-hmm. that's in their head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it's one of those things where you have to get to the point where I love how you said it. My husband says it to me in other ways. You can only control your emotions and how you react to it. Mm-hmm. And you can't spend your life worrying about other people's reactions to the things that you do. You consider them, yes. You know somebody's mm-hmm. going to be angry or upset, and you manage that. But at the same time, you can't not live your life for you mm-hmm. because you're worried about how they will react. Because
tons of people. Definitely. Every week that I'm doing breakthrough calls and strategy calls, everyone that I talk to, you know, like one of the ladies yesterday, you know, she's living an employee's life. And it's something that she wants to get out of. But it, like you said, it was expected that she take this step in this career. But every day people are, and then they wonder why they hit, you know, somewhere between like 35 to 45. And then they feel really unfulfilled in life. Like, if I've got another 40 more years to go, am I going to work like this? Am I going to do this? Mm-hmm. And you look back and you're like, but what else can I do at that point? And so it's definitely, it's a big challenge for a lot of people.
Right, right. Real quickly, I want to talk about your book, because yeah. you are a best-selling author, and congratulations on that. So tell everybody about your book, because I want to make sure that you know, those who are listening today, who your story has resonated with, they're able to kind of grab that book, because I think they connect very closely with everything we've been talking about today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, the book came about not because of where I am today. Today, we're in the space of, you know, helping other entrepreneurs become better sellers. But that book, when I first started doing the horse-assisted learning, clients were coming to me for different reasons. So we took all the different reasons why people came to me and then put it into a self-help book. And there was three areas of their life that we realized. In psychology, we call it norm, storm, and perform. And so the norm is getting to know yourself. Right? People are always so busy helping other people, they don't really help themselves. So the first part of the book was to get to know yourself. The second part of the book was, in order to grow, you have to understand what challenges are, how to make the butterflies grow, and, you know, really push the limit to make you uncomfortable, so that you, the uncomfortable becomes comfortable, because that's where people continue to thrive. And so the middle part of the book was about, you know, getting uncomfortable. And then the end of the book was about bringing it all together. And that's how we saw people coming through. And the book talks about different lessons, you know, like there's a self-help in every chapter about a specific topic. Where do we start? That's always what I hear. Where do I start? And so the same way I started with my mentor said, well, what is it that you want from life? And it was like, well, no one's ever asked me that question. I don't know. What do I want for life? And Tanisha, one of the things I had written down on my list was, I want to be a bestseller. And then, you know, judgment came in and went, you stink at writing. Like, you failed English. What makes you think you're going to be able to write a book? Well, it's not, you know, how to write a book, but, you know, what is it that I can do and who can help me be able to write that book? And that's how it all came about. But the book is titled Harness, right? The Purpose, Power, and Peace. So it's your purpose, right? Who you are, understanding who you are, your own power. We're going to put you through the mud and let you be a little bit uncomfortable so that you can start learning what risk looks like and what it feels like. And it's okay that the butterflies are flying. And then, you know, purpose, power, and peace. And that peace comes because now we're doing what we absolutely love. And so, nice. Yeah. So there's another book on the way.
Yay. Okay. So I'm putting dibs right now. When that book gets released, or as you're working on it, I call dibs because I want to be one of the first people to interview you and talk to you about that book. You are such a wealth of knowledge. And I know that we are running short on time today, but I definitely want to have you back on the show, because I want to tap into that sales expertise that you have. Mm-hmm. We didn't really talk about that on today's show. We're going to save that for another show. But you guys, you are in for such a treat. So now you've gotten a little taste of kind of the mindset, where she came from, what allowed her to be able to become the Deca millionaire that she is. In the next episode with Gina, we're going to get a few tips, just a few, because she's got way too much knowledge to throw in one episode. But I promise you, you don't want to miss it. So thank you, Gina, so much for joining me today. I totally appreciate you. For those of you who are listening, if you didn't do it already, please like and subscribe so that you can be one of the first people to know when this next episode comes out, because you're not going to want to miss it. And I will see you guys next time. Thanks so much. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well done.
Thank you. All right. So we will jump into the second one. I'm going to do a visual cue for myself so I know where the edits go real quick. Black myself out. Okay. All right. So in this one, I'm just looking for, you know, it'll be a conversation as well, but just a couple tips to help people. Nothing I know you can't handle, you know, but thinking about people who are having challenges, you know, with sales. So I'll probably start off asking you, you know, what are the, you know, top two or three, you know, problems people have with sales? And then we'll just kind of snowball the conversation from there. Okay. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Lofty Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tanisha Coffey, aka the Lofty Entrepreneur. Thanks for joining me. As always, we're providing the best tips, tools, and advice, as well as inspiration for entrepreneurs, no matter what stage you're at. So if you haven't done so already, click now to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Now, today we are tackling what is for many one of the most challenging aspects of being an entrepreneur, sales. Every entrepreneur could use some help in upping their sales game. So I need you to stop whatever you're doing right now and really focus in on today's discussion, because I have the sharpest sales trainer I have ever met on the show today. And we're going to be talking with the accelerator coach, Miss Gina Yaris. She is the best-selling author of Harness Your Purpose, Power, and Peace, creator of the Focus Forward Technique, as well as the founder and CEO of Yarcourt, where the focus is on how to become a top-selling salesperson, not by being pushy, but by selling from the heart. Hi, Gina. Thanks so much. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tanisha. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So for those of you who are just joining me, please go back and listen to, I did a separate episode with Gina where we talked about her journey as an entrepreneur. It's an amazing story, very inspirational. So go back and check that out. But today we are going to focus on some of those sales techniques. So Gina, I got to know, I know you've heard a lot of stories over the years. You've definitely been around the block, you know, with sales, and you obviously know what you're doing. What are some of the top challenges that people come to you when it comes to sales?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. You know, most people think that it's something external, you know, but the reality of it is, you know, even though they come to me for like, you know, how do I get more leads and how do I scale my business and how do I get referrals and things like that, like traditional things. But the reality of it is, it's not something on the external part of you, it's on the internal part of you that we have to shift so that the outward results begins to, you know, align. So when we think about it, the bigger problems, you know, it's never what we think it is, right? Mm-hmm. But the bigger problem is like incongruency. That's huge, because a lot of people will say certain things externally, but then act a different way. And they don't realize that people see that. You know, people, you know, they, your body language says more before you ever open up your mouth.
Right.
Right. And that's something where we've talked about in the last issue, using horses. And when we step into the arena and we're doing horse assisted learning, it has nothing to do with what you say. And so it's amazing what people learn about themselves. But incongruency is a really big problem among salespeople. And then, you know, for us, it's about selling themselves, right? They go out and they sell themselves. But the reality of it is, it has nothing really to do with yourself. It has to do with, you know, what, as an entrepreneur or as a salesperson, we are always solving problems. Whatever your product or service is for solving a problem. So you should be the solution. It doesn't matter that Gina's an accelerator coach, and a lot of times I don't even use that. But rather I go out and I offer a simple solution to those who struggle with fear. It's like the fear is what they're usually connected to, right? Mm-hmm. Off the bat, they'll be like, oh, that's me. But most people don't talk about what the problems are because they're afraid of confrontation. They're, you know, yada, yada, yada. So the bigger problem really is the incongruency, selling themselves, and then not having the process in place.
Okay. So let's dive a little bit deeper into that. So I think, you know, a lot of times people are told people buy from, you know, people that they know and trust. And so a lot of times people think that the way they get other people to know and trust them is to focus on themselves and all their achievements and I. But is that really the right way to go?
Heck no, that's feeding their ego. you know, and that's where the whole, selling became sleazy, right? Because we've made, we were taught traditionally that it was about us. Mm-hmm. When you walk into a car salesman show and like all of a sudden someone's right there standing next to you, it's like, no, go away. when we talk about heart-centered sales, it's about, understanding there's this congruency that what you have to offer somebody else is for their benefit. But in order for you to know that, you have to understand the problem that you're helping to solve.
Right. And I love that because I know one of my mentors, one thing that rang true with me is because my fear when I started out was, making cold calls. Mm-hmm. And it's, picking up the phone, the mechanics of it is not the problem, but it's, oh my goodness, I'm calling a stranger and, mm-hmm. They're going to hang up or be mean to me. And that's going to make me feel crappy, me. And the way that she helped me to kind of get over that hurdle and to go ahead and pick up the phone was just like you're saying is she said, you know what? You're trying to help them. Mm-hmm. And if they want that help, then great. You're there to help them and provide them the help that they need. If they don't, that's not your issue. Don't take that on. Don't take that energy. Don't internalize because mm-hmm. they may not realize they need it at that time. There may be another time, but mm-hmm. you can feel good because you offered to help them. And so that helped me in that mm-hmm. notion.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great way to look at it. I go a little bit further than that is that, even if you keep the mindset that you're looking to help them, it makes it easier when you understand the problem, right? So for me, understanding the problem, people in sales, they could be reluctant to make phone calls. And that's because A, they're focused on themselves and who they are versus building the mindset of this is the problem that I help solve. And so when people come to me, my problem, like the problem that people come to us for, you have reluctancy, you have fear of selling, you have fear of making phone calls, you have fear of asking for the close, all of those things. When I think about those fears that they have, and how long it's been a problem for them, how much money they're leaving on the table, I want them to see that I'm the solution to help them make more money, mm-hmm. right? Because as soon as we can get over this and understand this of what's holding them back, all of a sudden revenue starts to come quickly. And if they keep, so when they understand the problem and it's about fear, well, you can talk to that space and you don't make it about yourself. But most people have no idea what problem they solve. Mm-hmm.
And that's pivotal to everything that you're doing in business from, mm-hmm. Of course to your sales, but even before your sale, just figuring out what your offer is and, how to put it out there, how to speak to them. So that's a very critical thing to really think through. And it can be hard. You can think that but sometimes it does take an outside person like yourself with, doesn't have that attachment to that particular mm-hmm. product or service or even the outcome of it mm-hmm. to help you to see and get more clear on mm-hmm. what exactly that is.
Yeah. If we could give some of the tip to the listeners today, Tanisha, when you're trying to figure out the problem, it's never about like clarity and confidence and things like that. People always go to that surface stuff. And I usually ask like five whys. Well, why are they not confident? Why? And that's where we find out that on the deeper level of insecurities, that's a big one that seems to come up is that they're just insecure with themselves. And so, okay, so now let's fix the insecurity. Because as soon as we fix the insecurity, now all of a sudden they've got more clarity, they've got more confidence in every, but when we keep band-aiding things on the surface, it's like kind of pushing a rope up a hill. It's really hard to, have a successful business doing it that way.
Right. Now you mentioned about incongruency.
Yeah.
So how does one become congruent with their what they're saying and what they're doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes back to thinking about the problem that they want to help solve, right? So A, they have to get clear in their head before they can verbalize it. Most people just verbalize stuff and never take the time to get clear in your head. And when we talk about congruency, if people are familiar with like Napoleon Hill, Law of Attraction, Think and Grow Rich, all of those 1700, kind of transcendental type stuff that was out there, it creates a vibration. Your body creates a vibration. When we think about when you're unconsciously doing something that makes you happy, there's this vibration that people all of a sudden are attracted to. And so it's the same thing in sales, is that we have to get the congruency of what is it that I'm selling, right? Because when you yourself understand that problem and how valuable it is to people, because remember, entrepreneurs solve problems. Mm-hmm. How valuable that is to people. Wow. Now I'm getting what it is that I'm doing. You're creating your own clarity and your own confidence. Now you're going to step into that and you're going to own it. Right. But when we don't take the time to go through the thinking process, because to be honest, like when you go to school, do they teach you how to think? That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, we're gonna keep hands off the school system these days, you know, but
but it's conditioning your mind to think the way you want it to versus letting it just run rampant. And that was in the earlier episode, people go back and listen to that. That's where I was. My mind was just all over the place because I was never taught how to control my thinking. And so it would go down the rabbit hole, right? And then the self-esteem issues and all different kinds of issues that had happened from that, where if you want to be secure in who you are, you want to feel powerful, you want to be a confident woman, well, the only way that you're going to get that congruency and be confident is it starts in your ability to control how you think.
Okay. So that's definitely something to really marinate on, because Thinking is hard, and it forces you, it puts you in an uncomfortable place. I know we talked about, you know, that as well, is that typically when people grow, they grow because they're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But in this type of scenario, and in most cases, people won't put themselves in an uncomfortable situation. But in order to be successful with this, you almost have to put yourself in that situation, question yourself, ask those five whys, so that you can become a little bit uncomfortable so that you can grow and get past wherever you are.
Yeah, remember, it goes back to the beliefs like you talked about earlier, you know, our belief system of what we believe.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what would you say, so somebody, I'm going to talk kind of about two different audiences at this point in time. So like the person who is starting a business, they haven't tried to sell anything yet. They have no clue what to, but they're listening to this episode and they're like, oh, I didn't think about the fact I actually have to sell my stuff as an entrepreneur. It's not just about putting it out there or creating it. You know, what do you tell them? What actions should they take right now to position themselves to be a little bit further along for success than the person mm-hmm. who just jumps right in but doesn't really consider the sales aspects of things?
Yeah, well, first off, if you're an entrepreneurship, you're in the business of selling. And so if you don't like sales, well, then there's two things that you have to do. Either first, find someone else that can sell it for you, right? Or, you know, you work on yourself so that you get the clarity and the confidence to be able to sell what you're looking to take to the market. What I like about people that are just starting out, it's kind of like, it's easier to build a house than to remodel it. And so when you're just starting out, figure out what's the biggest challenge that you're facing at the moment, and then find a mentor or a coach that can help you because they've been through it. They know the easier ways to get through it, where, you know, for me, I look back and I go, geez, I went to the school of hard knocks. I didn't have any help. I didn't have any money earlier on either. So that was, I mean, could I have found money or made more money? Or yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways that I could have done it, but I didn't think about it back then. So if you're starting out and you're in the entrepreneur field, like find someone that, you know, like you idolize, that has, you know, where you want to go, and get them, you know, sign up for a program that can help you. Always considering this, the outcome that you want to be able to learn from the person that you're working with is something that they can teach you. Because I've also seen people that have hired coaches or mentors, and there's a lot of disappointment because they think that they're a coach, they can help them.
Right. So when you're considering that coach or mentor to work with, mm-hmm. you need to actually take some time to vet them and really think mm-hmm. about, outside of whatever they may be selling you, all the me stuff that they're telling mm-hmm. you about them, think about the result that you want mm-hmm. and think about what it is that they're telling you that they do, because sometimes we don't always hear what people are telling us very explicitly. We hear what we want to hear, you know, so that definitely is critical, because when you work with a mentor or coach, it's on you. You know, they can guide you, but at the end of the day, it's your business. You're responsible for it. You're responsible for the results. And the work you put in or don't definitely will impact it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. It's a tough world out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So real quick, what about for the person who has been in business for years? You know, they've made do. They're making money. Things are going fine. But, you know, maybe they don't want to do the sales anymore. Maybe because they're the one who's doing the sales, business is not as fruitful as it could be. You know, what do you tell that person who maybe just isn't quite getting it? You know, maybe they shouldn't be the salesperson, because let's face it, as an entrepreneur, we wear a ton of hats, but you don't have to wear all the hats. You should only be wearing the hat that is most appropriate and becoming for you. So what do you tell that person who needs to honestly, you know, maybe take that sales hat off and pass it on to somebody else, or they need to obviously, you know, get that mentor and coach, but maybe they're not jiving with, it's not working. Maybe, you know, they're not a natural salesperson.
Well, I think for starters, you have to think about, as an entrepreneur, your job in building a company and having a successful company is understanding who can help you, because you can't wear all those hats as an entrepreneur. As long as you agree, or again, it goes back to a belief system. If you believe that you have to wear all of those hats, then it's going to be really hard for you to go any further than where you're at. But letting that ego step aside and say, okay, well, I've got a great product. I've got a great service. I want to really make a success. Well, then look at all the different jobs that you have going on. Which ones are the ones that take up most of your time? And, you know, which ones are the ones that drive revenue? And then go back and question yourself and say, okay, well, which people do I have to hire right now in order to do so? And then that's how everything begins to scale. Because as an entrepreneur, being a solo entrepreneur just means it's a single owned entity. It doesn't mean that it's a single run business, because you'll never get anywhere if you don't have other team members to play. And instead of saying you know, well, how can I do that? I always like to ask myself, well, who can help me? Right? Because we're looking for people. People build teams. Those teams build successful businesses. If sales is a really big problem for you, it could be. You know, I mean, I was always taught, and I've taught others, that you cannot sell anyone until you can sell yourself. And so whatever your business is, you have to learn how to sell yourself. And when you do, then you'll see how you can be a good salesperson and teach somebody else. Because you can't teach someone something that you haven't done yourself. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, that is it for this episode. That's all you're getting from Gina. But guess what? We've got another interview with her coming up on the next episode. Go ahead and hop on over there to check that one out.